horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
We're back, and you know, I didn't bring it up with Keith until it occurred to me afterward. There has been the more extended mandate for masking, and so other than I guess essentially eating and drinking, everybody is going to have to stay masked as much as practical as practically possible. So that it, but I sense that everybody's made their peace with that. As a portion of this, because originally the hope was that. Because it was a private gathering, and that they've got control of the room, that they would be able to, throughout the hotel we'd have to wear masks, but at the tables we'd be okay. But now it's a complete widespread mandate. So masks at the tables. All right, let's catch up on a few things quickly from yesterday and into today. And tomorrow, actually, looking ahead to Indiana. They've got a couple of nice stakes, a couple of turf stakes, the Peony and the Puchero. Just looking at the fields of both full fields, 12 each, with AEs in the Puchero and an MTO in the. And an AE in the Peony. We'll talk to Bill Downs to Indiana. And yesterday, boy, they came perilously close. It would have only taken probably one more upset to trip a pick five carryover. You had a 46-80 winner in the first leg, Lady McKenzie, for Gennaro Garcia as the seventh choice, then a third choice, 12-40. Then you had two favorites, and that's what kind of spoiled the run, because you did have the sixth choice win the nightcap, and Andrew McKeever with Brit's Wit. And to Andrew McKeever, after a really difficult patch, has got the pendulum swinging back in the right direction, and is winning races regularly again, and I'm happy for him. A 31-60 winner, Brit's Wit. And I happened to see some exchanges either on Facebook or maybe on Twitter. I think it was on Twitter. This was a first-time starter going 7.5 on the grass, two-year-old, Brit's Wit, and named for what sounds like a very premature passing. And so that's always nice. Wins first out, Jermaine Bridgeman, and 31-60. Awfully nice as well. And in fact, beat a Cuba Racing, Churchill Downs Racing Club runner for Brad Cox, Creative Miracle, who went off as the 3-2 favorite. But this feels like a nice little English Channel. And an English Channel winning as a first-time starting two-year-old. So blue sky for Brit's Wit. Congratulations, the Iroquois Racing Club. We'll catch up with Bill Downs. We haven't talked to Bill actually in 3 weeks. So, and I, I, Gleyshaw's got horses on the card. I can't believe that Gleyshaw, I'm sure he would have loved to have gotten a starter into that Buchero, right? Trainers like that. Trainers enjoy that. When there's a namesake horse of theirs, they don't try to get a horse ready. Here's the stuff from Colonial yesterday. Let me run through this. In that Victory Gallop, they had a nice day of racing yesterday. The Victory Gallop, good old cord maker, Mrs. Charles, and this was a Manfuso and Voss Curlin that has really put together has had a nice career. This is win 10 in 31 starts for Rodney Jenkins, and he really almost never misfires. He brings it over and over again. 31 starts and now 21 board hits. And even when he doesn't hit the board, he's Pimlico Special, for instance, in May. He was fourth in the Pimlico Special, 33-1. And I see checks in the Maryland Million in the Classic and in deep allowance fields as well. And you know what's amazing about Cordmaker? Despite his record, he doesn't go favored very often. That's kind of funny. I mean, he was even here, he was even money, and this field lost three horses and scratched a four. And Macklemore Avenue was a very close second choice. But Victor Carrasco, probably the best horse that Victor's associated with. No sign of letting up. No fig yet, but typically he runs low 90 buyers in this kind of a race. The Victory Gallop, the mile and 16th. You had Saracosa for Cipriano Contreras, owner Chad Schumer. This Bernardini mare, who herself is six. And this was a price, 38.40, winning the Love Sign. Mile and a 16th. And Colonial, that's a one turn event, and Saracosa from the rail, and came away slowly and finished with a flourish. And how about Arietta showing up at Colonial? Nice. One of the emergent post-pandemic stories, right? It was last year with Arietta. Chitara won the Seeking the Pearl. This is for Nacho Correas, stud Los Leones, the Chilean. And this is a four-year-old filly by Daddy Longlegs. Nice. Chitara. And I think it was Jessica Paquette I noticed yesterday. We were flying. And I think we were still. What time did this go off? Yeah, we were getting ready to fly, and she tabbed Chitara, who was 8-1 on the morning line, and ends up going off at six and change, paid $14.80. Chitara did, upsetting Frank's Rocket. And in fact, that makes me notice. You had those Mont sent down those two horses, and Frank's Rocket got beat at 1-2. Paris Lights did not go favored. Bayesian Girl did, and she was 6-5, and she did not. She hasn't won since October, and yet has gone favored two of her last three starts. That was the Saracosa upset. So that I did not really handicap that, and I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to look at that. I knew it was going to be a busy day yesterday. But Nacho and Hector Caramanos, wire-to-wire with Chitara, and I already mentioned Just Might and the Summer of Lovell. Michelle Lovell, unbelievable. This Justin Phillip gelding the five-year-old, and really nice to see him do it on dirt. And this, you know, this was six furlongs. I mean, his typical distance, and it's only the second time he's tried dirt at three-quarter. And now a winner going that trip. So he had to hold on. It looked like he was in great shape. He had put away, it looked like he was putting away Mucho, and Mucho really dug in. And it's funny, this was a really tight finish, and I don't know if it's the camera angle or what, but the way in which they hit the wire, it wasn't obvious that Just Might won, but I know that that Jason Beam was confident that he had, and the cameraman stayed with Just Might as well. Actually, I think he went back and forth. Maybe I just only looked down and went. But they, I tell you, they went official. it doesn't. Del Mar too did this. I thought notably, they were going very fast. Official, but Colonial, that horse hadn't come back, and the prices were up. So congratulations to Michelle, who seems poised. She told us, you know, I just actually asked her privately. It wasn't on air, but I said to her, do you have the horses to, you know, finish out the meet and win the training title? I mean, that would be a huge feat for her. I really, in fact, we'll get a, here, let's get a, we can get a quick read on this. Here you go. Get the most up-to-date trainer stat. We also got to talk about Luis Saez, if you didn't see that terrific Grenick piece. Luis Saez is just... I don't want quarter horses, fellas. I'll tell you. Don't. Yeah. Let's see. Why? I'm obviously doing... That's actually me. It's not... There we go. Leader by track. It's actually a good system. It's just... if you gotta put your cursor in the right spot. There we go, Indiana Grand, and let's get the number. Here we go, Michelle Lovell. Not Indiana. What is wrong with me? I'll tell you, I will admit to being a little punchy. Not Indiana Grand. But Colonial, there we go. All right, Michelle now with seven. And on an earnings basis, actually, Trombetta had been ahead of her on earnings. And now with that stake win, Michelle leads in wins from only 17 starters. 17 starters, seven wins. Unbelievable. What a season she is crafting here. And what, I think three stake wins? She's got seven. And boy, she's got some legends lined up behind her. Hammy Smith and Ferris Allen, six each. So there is some veteran horsemanship stalking Michelle Lovell's pace. Wow. Of course, Hammy had those three wins, what, last Monday? Very nice. Well, we've got today and so I think they've got five cards left? I think five cards left at Colonial, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, right? And then they go to September 1st, and there might be one. Yeah, so today, four cards left at Colonial. So good luck, Michelle. I should mention, too, in fact, we want to get Kerry Brion and talk to her about Thursday's unbelievable accomplishment in the Jonathan Sheppard and how much it meant to her. And one of the things she followed up with, a maiden breaker yesterday as well at Colonial. Howie Tuppence. And Howie Tuppence. Champs-Élysées five-year-old. So it's been an amazing year for Kerry Breon. The other jump race yesterday, Vincent van Gogh for the Flying Elvi, the Flying Elvis, Mabel, for Neil Morris yesterday. Those were the two Colonial jumps. And today Colonial, you've got nine race card starts at 1:45, and you got two year old fillies with a number of first time starters. Going as the fourth, you've got a nice seven-horse allowance with English B, Grand Motion, going a 1/16 on the grass. Second-level allowance, sprinting on the grass as the eighth. Another nice card, really. They've done a great job. All right, and then Philadelphia. We might as well save Philly for Chris Griffin. Let's do that. In fact, we can even get Chris going now, I think, would be a good idea before he gets ready for the race day. All right, Case? I know you said you're having... Casey said the computer's been wonky. The stream, which was giving Case a problem yesterday, rebooted and restarted. So if you missed anything, especially from yesterday's fun show, Del Mar with the recaps, you can get it at the archive. But the stream is back running. All right. So sorry about that. And there you go. Boom. Chris Griffin. All right. We'll get Chris in here. That's a good idea. And then we'll talk to the horseman a little bit later. I mentioned the Travers draw tomorrow, and in fact, it'll I think actually 24 hours from right now. I think I saw 10:30 or 10:45, right, for the Travers draw. Travers. Led, of course, by Essential Quality. And if you didn't see Dave Grenick's piece about Luis Saez, it's quite remarkable, actually, given the kinds of mounts that Arad and Jose Ortiz get on a regular basis. But at the same time, Kieran McLaughlin making just one fabulous business decision after another for Luis Saez. And, Saez, what's nice about Saez to me is you can really put him on any kind of horse. And he doesn't have, I love how he rides on the front end. And personally, I think back to some wins he had for us, most notably, actually, with Williams Lucky Gray. And I love that front-end ride where you have clear control, you let horses come to you a little bit heading into the turn, and then spurt away. And everybody panics and comes chasing. And then again, he'll idle around the turn because it's not easy to make up a lot of ground when you're chasing on the turn. And then he does it again at the top of the stretch and spurts away. And everybody's just, everybody else is panicked. And he's had the mount you know, come back to him and in his hands. I think, I mean, he's as good at that as anybody in more than recent memory. So his, you know, he seems, you know, ticketed for the riding title here, at not here, but back there at Saratoga. So 49 wins through the first 29 days of the meet. 10 wins up on Jose Ortiz and 13 up on Arad. If Saez wins, and Dave made this note, if Saez wins, it would be his first New York title. And I've told this story before. It was back to Aqueduct on either Gotham Day. I can't remember if it was Gotham Day or was it a Wood Memorial Day. Might have been a Wood Memorial. The Comley. I think the Comley. And David Fox had brought Luis Saez up from Florida. We really hadn't seen him in New York before. And he put a ride on that hot summer. And I remember watching the race with Fox and saying, who is this kid? He said, forget it. He said, he's going to be an absolute star. Now, David Fox saw it right from the get-go. And it couldn't have been more right. And he's tough and fearless too, Luis Saez. So a big opportunity for him in the Travers, obviously with Essential Quality. But here's what we're looking at. Keep me in mind, Mask Parade and Essential Quality. Your 1, 2, 3 finishers out of the Jim Dandy, Dynamic One. We'll talk to Todd later. Midnight Bourbon. And King Fury. So, if it's... I'm forgetting Chad's horse, Miles D. So, there's 7, and we'll see if anybody else throws in. But that's okay. That's a nice group. The Jim Dandy runners and... You know, that Miles D of Chad's actually, he was figuring things out late. I mean, I thought ran very well in the curling. Right? Well, Travers the centerpiece. But you're going to get Latruska and Swiss Skydiver in the personal ensign, as well as Bonnie South and... Harvey's Little Goyle. I saw Andy tweeted about Harvey's Little Goyle coming back to dirt. Miss Marissa Royal Flag and more. You've got the Forgo as well. So the five grade ones: the Ballerina, the Alan Jerkins, Travers, Personal Ensign, Travers, Personal Ensign, and the Forgo. There you go. There's the 5 grade ones. And Whitmore coming back out of the Vanderbilt. Chance It, Double Blessed, Mind Control, Mischievous Alex, and Yoppin look like the field for the Forgo. Gamine, of course. Gamine in the Ballerina. CC, Estillo Talentoso, Lake Avenue, Vermont, Wisconsin for Team Foley. And Chad Summers with Truth Hurts. And then finally, how about the Where's the, let's see what we got for the Jerkins. Well, of course, Jackie's Warrior. Life is good. There's your headline. That's right. There's your headline. Drain the clock. Maybe following C. We'll see what Todd says. And judge and jury. Well, five grade ones on Saturday. And now, you know, it's funny. The races are good. They aren't necessarily ideal, at least so far, looking, you know, just kind of top lining it here. Doesn't look like necessarily the terrific races for the contest. That part. Well, so we'll see about the personal ensign. Because it's a good size field, too. 2, 4, 6, 8, 9. Yeah, 9 or 10. That'll be interesting. If somebody, I mean, Latruska and Swiss Skydiver. I'm not a fan of match races, but that would shape up, right? Swiss Skydiver with a chance to. I mean, this is her chance to, you know, at least draw even with Latruska. Heading toward the Breeders' Cup, right? And that division's going to be fun. Then, of course, there's the whole Malathat dynamic, right, to deal with. Well, and again, plenty to talk about, obviously, with Todd Pletcher later. I gave you the Vequist story. That's really tough. I think it really looked like she was coming around, and so we'll see what her future holds going forward. Now, and we talked about got that. All right, getting there, and. Some more aftermath of the pileup at Del Mar on Sunday. Tyler Bayes is, I saw where Jack Carava said that Tyler's going to take the week. He's a little body sore. And from his fall, Emily Ellingwood, Cesar Ortega, Tiago Pereira, they were the ones all that went to the hospital, but everybody amazingly is okay. So and the horses too. That was one more round of Bold and Bossy. Thanks so much to the visit from Michael Ann Ewing. And then she also provided later after we talked yesterday, she provided some video. And the filly is 100% fine. I mean, I she's got a little bit of salve on her back, but off of fluids and eating, good appetite eating. She's not off her feet or anything, and it looks like. It looks like the two ordeals that she came through are behind her. Really, in a crazy, crazy story. And then you know, I heard from Michael Ann too that she's hearing from I made that comment yesterday when I thanked her and to put up that little screen capture of a TikTok somebody had. Michael, she's hearing from people around the world. I mean, that's the power of this social media. Not that it's news about how influential and the speed at which it can deliver, but. it does make me laugh about, if we think back about Bodie Express, right? There's something, it seems, about a loose horse that people are fascinated by horses running under tack without a jockey. I don't know what tips them like that, but it does. They're fascinated. Pretty funny. So this filly has got fans around the world. She's going to be the most, assuming she gets back to the entry box, it's going to be the most anticipated career of any horse in recent memory. I'm doing my best to wade through everything and clear the deck. Here's one more. Let me get this done. Because I answered our friends at LA Horse Reporters that was after the figs for the Louisiana Cup. I didn't give this out yesterday. You had the Juvenile Fillies. Here's your rundown from Louisiana Down Saturday. Mo Tom got his first stake winner. Cloyce Clark bred filly out of an AP Jet mare for Scott Kellner. And Thompson Racing, Stephen Thompson, wins the Louisiana Cup Juvenile Fillies. You had Net a Bear win the Distaff. Tim Thornton for Alan Landry and owners Maximo LaMarche and Federico Del Toro. An awesome bet mare, five-year-old, wins the Distaff. You had the two-year-old boys, little modest upset. 5-1 win for the El Deal colt, True Deal. This for Lonnie Briley and Norman Stables, also bred by Cloyce Clark. How about that? Clark bred two of the Louisiana Cup winners. And I think that was El Deal's first stake winner as well. Choo Choo's Legacy, 7-1 winner in the sprint for Alan Landry, a bind 3-year-old. Beat a bunch of elders. And this is a horse that Alan owns. And you had the Turf Classic, Carly's Dream, Lindy Wade for Karen Jacks and Carl Moore. Carl Moore Management. This is a Lee 4-year-old gelding. Oh, and one more, the Philly and Mare Sprint, Strong Beauty. Overanalyze Philly for Golden Rock Thoroughbreds, Ron Fauché. At 9-2, pay 10.80. So there was your Louisiana Cup. Believe me, anything I can do to clear out the piles of I've got so much. I've got so many PPs and the printer comes with me, and I'll print all the mandatories, so I've got that all at hand for the contest. On a positive, I do have full couple of days to prepare, which is going to be good. Tina's going to stay till Thursday, and then head back. And she's actually got superintendent school days to get ready for now. They got a couple of pre-school get-togethers. So she's going to head back, and the contest between the morning show, the regular, 9 to noon, and then when we do the afternoon stream of the action at NHC. I mean, she doesn't need to hang around. She did that the first. Well, she had no choice because she couldn't have flown home even if she wanted to. I think we determined it was 6 years ago when we came for that contest. So there we go. All right, well, you know what? It's top of the hour. Case, I think we're kind of on track here a little bit. Let's take a break. And I know we got Todd Pletcher coming. I got Papo Morales. Did anybody see the? I put up the four. The Saturday pick four from Del Mar, from Form to Win, it was right there, and I'm going to kick myself for leaving Established out of the play I had established was right there, recommended as the top horse, and I blew it. I mean, that it was $9,000, right? $9,000? Jesus. Pick five? Unbelievable. But we can't say we weren't unhappy with what went on with Astronaut. That was all right. So, all right. Take a quick break. Come back for hour three. We're in Vegas.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at pabred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Thoroughbred horse racing returns to the home state of Secretariat when Colonial Downs in Virginia conducts its summer season with a new afternoon racing schedule and minimum daily purses of $500,000. The season runs from July 19th to September 1st with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Mark your calendars for Colonial Downs' signature event, the Grade 3 Virginia Derby, on Tuesday, August 31st. All races will be broadcast on TVG this summer. Colonial Downs now running Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday afternoons at 1:45 p.m.
Tickets for the Run Happy Travers are on sale now for just $15. Don't miss Saratoga's biggest day of the season. The Run Happy Travers, Saturday, August 28th. Save $5 when you buy your tickets in advance at NYRA.com.
Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, and I'm laughing. Chris Griffin, you know, who we had for at least a couple of years doing previews and from Sam Houston. It never had a problem when he was at Sam Houston. Never had trouble getting. I don't know where Chris is. Look who's here. Tina has made her way down from. Did you wander around? Yeah, you like the lay of the land. You like this section of the strip better than further down at the Treasure Island, or?
Yeah, you're right in the middle.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. It's. You know, for because a lot of the players, you know, they'll head out for dining. Yeah, you can fill it. Actually, there's just the water right there. You can fill it. for dining purposes, especially because boom, you could just walk right across. You know, you got Caesars across, Bellagio, and Cosmopolitan, and we'll get everybody's. Yeah. Oh, I saw that actually. I mentioned that. Well, you know, I don't know where Chris is. All right, he said today, Case. I sent him a text too. All right. Well, in that case, let me keep running this down. Yesterday, the Pennsylvania Day at the Races, you had a nice sequence of stakes. And I actually, you had nice maiden race and allowances as well. The Dr. Garofalo, the Teresa Garofalo Memorial, this was the upset of Chubb Wagon, who at 2-5 gets beat. Lupe Preciado, of course, the Hey Chubb filly, and you know, she had really, you know, she really hadn't been challenged essentially in this 8-race win streak. But don't call me Mary with Paco Lopez for Todd and Stuart Grant for Elkstone Group. This was a Richard Simoff bred, an El Padrino. So Chubb Wagon, we'll have to try to reboot and get her win streak back going. Precious, off the turf for John Service, and Newell Thoroughbred, homebred, FedBiz filly, four-year-old. She won under Frankie Pennington, won the Mrs. Penny. You had the Stormcat, I Am Redeemed. Penny Pierce for owner Larry Rebecca. A redeemed three-year-old colt. Won well, in fact, at 7-2. Just taking a peek at this. I'm curious. You had Admiral Abe win the Marshall Jenny. This is a midshipman for Robert Mosco and Stefcon Racing. That was originally going to be a turf sprint and went to the main track. And finally, in the Banjo Picker, for the love of bourbon, the Bourbon Courage, Smart Angle for Michael Pino. So there was your stakes action from yesterday. And actually, there was also two maiden races and a jumpstart colt. Todd Beatty brought a first-time starter to Philly and one going 5.5. And you had Jamie Ness. Jamie Ness won a couple of races, actually. Two, in fact, they might have won three. Had the maiden breaker, What's Cooking, a Violence baby that had tried Delaware. And was behind that Beauty and Brains. So there you go. There's Pennsylvania Day at the Races, which came off well, except for this turf situation. And that includes today, where they're going to lose the Park Stash, but they will get it back going. I'm not going to launch into any of that stuff without accompaniment. So we will we'll just continue to catch up on as much as we can while we wait for any of our missing. You know, okay, Trey Styles just tweeted, that's pretty funny. I thought it was him, but he was wearing the mask. So, that's pretty funny. I'm going to write back on here. That was you. you this is great. You could have said hello. pretty good. So, Trey, maybe we'll get Trey... This is going to be the other problem, right? With everybody wearing masks, you're not going to necessarily recognize people as readily. We'll see if he comes back. All right. Pretty funny. All right, Phil Serpy is officially going to have to wait until tomorrow, all right? Just heard back from Phil. So he was on a conference call, and no Phil until tomorrow. You know what I could talk about here while we wait? The DQ. Has anybody gone back to the maiden race DQ from Saturday? And there was a lot going on in there that saw Can We Put Behind the Stablemate rhetoric. And I'm not sure. I watched it another two or three times. And I'm still not sure what could have been done. I certainly agreed. I thought there was a chance that Forbidden Kingdom would come down. But I wasn't surprised when it stayed up. I was surprised that they took Cam Wee and dropped him down to third. But those three colts, as I mentioned yesterday, those three colts are going to be well worth watching. And I, you know, the interesting thing about Forbidden Kingdom, and I'm anxious to hear from Jay Pribman and what Jay thinks about the way he ran. And granted, he was on the front end and had to repel, you know, the challenges. But even though he's American Pharoah, I got the sense that he may be, at least for now, a little distance limited. I don't know how far that colt's going to want to go. Forbidden Kingdom. We'll see. He's out of a 5-star day mare, and I mean, you can't complain too much about. You know, winning at first asking, and they went, you know, they went fast enough. 83 buyer for basically all of them, and so Cam Wee and Rhetoric, who we'll see what Baffert does with those two, if they'll wait for Santa Anita or if you'll see one or the other. Beforehand, but they're both those are Rhetoric, Quality Road out of the Heartspun mare, and Can We, Quality Road out of a Blame mare. That is going to be a hot race going forward. Without a doubt. You know, the other maiden winner, you know, our tendency at this time of year is always to be focused on the 2-year-olds, right? But the Tappet of Ellen J. Foxwoods, that Subconscious, that's a horse, a fourth career start, feels like a horse that has got plenty of upside yet. And was just never, whenever anybody tried to come to him. And they, let me see when he was gelded, this horse. I'm curious. He was gelded in June after that third start. And so, yeah, that was a change. On Subconscious. So this may be a nice this may be the new United. I think I even made that suggestion. That was a nice win. that you might not have seen. And, you know, the horses behind, there was a scrum behind Subconscious in that maiden race, including Eric Johnson's Barbed Wire, who had made the transition to turf in his last start. Uncle Mo, out of an Empire Maker, the Micropoli bred. Barbed Wire, nice. This race, you're just always, we're always looking at the two-year-olds. Here, the horse that Phil D'Amato talked about, Ain't Easy. He seemed excited. Wasn't as fast a race. Obviously, you know, the fillies wasn't as fast a race as the boys, as Forbidden Kingdom, but I mean she did it well, and she just ran away from that bunch in the opener. From Sunday, I can mention too. You had the Green Flash, Lieutenant Dan, the Grays and Gelding of Nick Alexander's, Steve Miotti, with Giovanni Franco, off of a long layoff, and in fact, the five-year-old is now won both of his starts as an older horse, and he likes Del Mar. He likes the Del Mar Turf Sprint, and that, you know, that race. Now that I'm just looking at that, you got a first triple-digit buyer, I think, in this, right? Yeah, 100 buyer for Lieutenant Dan. So there's a horse that is going to want to try. The Calbred is going to want to try, I'm sure, to shoulder his way into the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. And by the way, that was not such a crazy idea that I had for for Phil D'Amato yesterday with Going Global. I think that filly could do pretty much anything. But yeah, that from Sunday. And they had a good crowd Sunday. We went back over to Del Mar and spent a little bit. And there was a very good crowd on Sunday. And we talked to Sadler, of course, about Edgeway. That was on Friday. So, all right, there we go. I'm clearing the deck here for everybody. Oh, you know, I was hoping to talk to John Sadler too, and can't seem to connect to him because the astronaut win, and there were plenty of people. I mean, listen, I picked him fourth and had him as a C, and it was the key to hitting the cross country. There was plenty to like about Astronaut coming into this, and in a lot of ways, Astronaut was, you know, the turf version. Not that he moved from the dirt, but in some ways, you know, he was as appealing, and at that price, he was even more appealing than Tripoli. But from a fig standpoint, Astronaut was absolutely competitive, and with another step forward, was going to be competitive. And for Victor Espinoza, you know, who seems to be picking up some momentum, Victor, you know, after having been hurt. And I mentioned yesterday, it's a nice win for Mr. O'Connor. This, another horse that feels like an emergent, you know, here's a four-year-old that's got upside yet. 97 buyer for Astronaut, career best. So you had some horses, you had a number of them, on Saturday, that ran their best races, and that's, you know, that's part of the handicapping exercise, trying to speculate. How funny was How funny was our man yesterday with about Joe Bravo with Phil DeBato? That made me laugh. I got to tell you, because you know you don't want to beat up the jock knows. I mean, the jock knows that they screwed the pooch. So, but you know, that was one I don't think about having video too often. That would have been fun. You should have seen Phil DeBato's face and his eyes, you know, roll to the sky about it. I know a lot of people. I put Say the Word on top myself, actually, as well. I went Say the Word United Arklow Astronaut. I think Arklow Astronaut, right? Or no, Master of Fox Sounds. I left Arklow off. It was Master of Fox Sounds, and actually it's too bad. It didn't occur to me at the time to make Astronaut the best value, because that would have been nice, actually, now that I think about it. Because if I put him in as best value, it's an all A ticket to hit for the 2100 for people. So, and I always, you know, I'm always I love giving out you know, strong plays, but I know there's a number of players that, you know, that try the all A and are on a budget. So, you know, the opportunity to hit for that kind of lick, you know, on an all A ticket for $18, that's you know, the bet a little, win a lot philosophy. It's the philosophy that Chris Griffin enjoys, and he joins us now. Chris, good morning. Well, not yet, huh? We'll get Chris picked up, and give me a second here. Give Casey a second to get Chris. Are you going to call him back? All right. Call him back. I just heard back from Trey Stiles. he said the same thing. Trey said, not easy recognizing people with these masks. Pretty funny. And I'm going to have to give Trey. I saw him complaining about a food choice, I guess, yesterday. So we're going to square him away on some options for eating in Vegas. I think now Chris Griffin is ready to go. Chris, good morning. No. I don't know what to tell you here. Okay, so let me know. Well, what else while we wait? How about, yesterday, there were the other two stakes I did mention. The Carl Boyce at Presque Isle. And in this, This one, I don't have. Where is it? I know I have. Again, there's just. I try to. You know, I keep the Saratoga stuff together and the Del Mar stuff together, but then the miscellaneous, especially when they're a single. I'll go through stuff later and I'll find, you know. There it is. There we go. Leland Hayes and a horse that he owns. Noble Mission Gelding. Life Mission at 12-1 and beat Jimmy DeVito and Desh Goff. Mojo Man, second in here. 26-60 in the Carl Boyce. And you also had the stake at Finger Lakes yesterday. Get that one in because Gary went out. With Chowda, and ran a good second, went to the lead under Davila, and was third choice, but could not hold off. This Cat Can Fly, Jeff Engelhart, a Birdstone gelding for Top Hat Thoroughbreds. This in the Genesee Valley, right? Yeah, Genesee Valley Breeders. Yeah, so. Okay, here, Case. Chris says to try the. Chris is saying to try the office line instead. All right. No, that's the number you got, right? Yeah, that's the number you got. I don't know what to tell you. Yeah. Looking ahead to tomorrow as well in New York. The John's Call tomorrow, the long-running, the great John's Call. He used to come out, remember, and would run do the parade. John's Call tomorrow. And I haven't gotten to Thursday yet and Friday, although, as I told you, if you didn't catch it earlier, the... two of the mandatories from Saratoga for the first chance, last chance. And, you know, there'll be a ton of play-along contests on horse tourneys, and there's the celebrity whatever, the media contest as well on Saturday. That we'll participate in. And... opportunity to play along with the NHC mandatories on Saturday. I'm at a loss here for this. Okay, I can't do anything from here, obviously. So. Take a break here and try to figure it out. All right? Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets for the Run Happy Travers are on sale now for just $15. Don't miss Saratoga's biggest day of the season. The Run Happy Travers, Saturday, August 28th. Save $5 when you buy your tickets in advance at naira.com.
Thoroughbred horse racing returns to the home state of Secretariat when Colonial Downs in Virginia conducts its summer season with a new afternoon racing schedule and minimum daily purses of $500,000. The season runs from July 19th to September 1st with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Mark your calendars for Colonial Downs' signature event, the Grade 3 Virginia Derby, on Tuesday, August 31st. All races will be broadcast on TVG this summer. Colonial Downs now running Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday afternoons at 1:45 p.m. Yeah.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them, is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 38-4643.
Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, and we're going to try. We're going to try again. Chris is connected, and we'll see if he's there and if he's hearing me. Not sure. Casey's like those engineers at NASA in Apollo 13. trying every wacky thing. Chris Griffin, are you there? No, huh? Unbelievable. All right. We're not going to reach for everybody else. If we can't connect, so you tell me.
Let
me see if. Let me see if we can get, you know what we can do? Let me see if we can, try that, and Casey's going to work on something on the phone system, and I'll see if, we'll see if Trey Styles wants to sit in. If I'd known this, we would have roped him in. Oh, I mean, I didn't realize it was him until he tweeted. So, well, and I apologize to Chris Griffin. I was looking forward to. Yeah. There we go. February. Okay, I think Chris. Yeah, I think Chris is going to come over. All right, we'll spend the rest of got about 25 minutes. We'll see if I think he's going to come over. Okay, yeah, perfect. That'd be great. All right, Case, you do what you got to do. Try to reboot that phone system, and we'll get Trey Stiles in here, and we'll talk to. That sounded like something, Case. Whether it was a disconnection, either way. All right. Yeah, that's the reboot. Okay. All right. So be it. Listen, I at 9 o'clock, I didn't expect we would even have any show because the ballroom, the picture I put up, as you saw, is completely empty. There's some equipment in the corners and against the walls. You'll see it. Anybody that's ever done any convention work, right? I certainly did my share, food service, and it is amazing how it'll all come together. But when the players walk in, they'll be greeted, by a fully outfitted center. And this has been, by no means do. Is it a knock on Treasure Island? Because that was a terrific host, but this is infinitely better than the way the screens are and the sight lines and this has got a clear edge. And even with the final table in the middle, and every as opposed to the final table up on the stage there, so looking forward to watching it all come together in the next 48 hours. But I'm lucky that we were able to get up and running today. While we wait for Trey, I didn't mention I think I mentioned Horologist when boy, she romped in that Summer Colony Sunday, and I actually miscued there. I had left. I had her as a C. I thought Gold Spirit. I thought this was the coming out party for Gold Spirit. And I also hoped that So Darn Hot, the Weaver, might get involved. But it was all Horologist and 88 Buyer in there. I was looking without the phones, though. Maybe we'll just have to save Todd for tomorrow, too, because I'm anxious to talk about his two. About his two babies. Yeah, all right. Thank you, Keith, with a coffee. I appreciate it. I don't know where. I'm not sure where Tina went either. So. Haven't had a chance to handicap yet. We'll get caught up today, and get into the swing. Just seeing what else is coming this week. Delaware on Wednesday too. I'm just noticing the Blue Ant steak on Wednesday, and Friday, the Friday card at Saratoga too, and that's a card. Now that I think about it, the state bred steak day that has become a tradition before Travers. could be a really productive spot for the contest. Well, there you go, Case. That sounded promising, Casey. Yeah, I think you at least there was some. I'm going to take a look here at because now I'm typically those state bred cards. Well, and unfortunately, last year the Travers, because the Travers was early, I don't know if they did it the same way. No, they didn't. But they did it closing. They did a closing weekend, September 4th last year. The Albany, the Otto, the Funny Side, the Fleet Indian, the West Point, and the Seeking the Ante. And when it came to the prices, which is obviously the germane topic here, that's what we're curious about. I don't know if I'm going out on a limb on this or not, but. But very frequently, those state bred cards, here we go. Here, because, you know, my whole summer plan has revolved around state breds long on the grass. All right, the state bred last year, the state bred card, you had a 24-1 maiden special winner. Step Dance, that war dancer. State Breds, 24-1. You had Big Package win an allowance, a sprint allowance for Dave Donk at 23-1. And the rest was a combination of you had three favorites. 3-2 or less. You had three short price favorites. And then middle priced 3-1, 3-1, 2-1, 6-1, 5-1, 4-1. And yeah. So two bombs on the state bred card last year. One short, one long, both on the grass, which is, you know, not an unusual scenario as a place to reach for prices. So there's an idea. There's something to latch onto for Saturday and or Friday. You want to try that again, Case? You want to try it now? All right. Well, Chris, do we have him? Well, this has been a no. All right. No, Chris says he's he just texted me. He said he hears nothing. So, all right. That's a project for this afternoon, Case, for you. very strange. Well, and yesterday we had Mig and we had Sadler. But actually, you had Mig was no problem at all. I don't know. This is beyond my. Tina will tell you. I don't know where she went either. She'll tell you. She does all the. There he is. She does all the tech stuff around our house. Trey Styles, just grab that mic.
Put my arm, what do I do?
You just say hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm good. I didn't want to interrupt you. I saw you down here, and I didn't want to. Had my mask on. I know it's hard to pick people out.
It's going
to
be hard. I know. Because we, in some cases, the people we don't see, you know, we don't see once a year.
Right.
So. Too funny.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I just want to check it out. It's just kind of wild looking at you in this huge ballroom, sitting here by yourself, with the echo going through the halls here.
Exactly.
They got a little work to do here, but it's gonna be cool.
I think I had Keith Shamblin earlier, and Keith, he had lost track himself. He thought he was thinking that the last chance, first chance was tomorrow.
Oh, geez.
They've got 48 hours. Yeah, even a Cracker Jack staff of a hotel couldn't put this ballroom together. There's a million things to touch on with you, and first of all, how about it's funny. We're having trouble connecting with Chris Griffin.
Oh,
You got yourself a new handicapping partner.
I know. I'm excited.
Right?
I've been texting Chris, and I certainly missed him. And then kind of had a carousel of announcers that coming through during the quarter horse meet. But Nick was awesome, so I'm looking forward to it. I knew Nick. I mean, we knew each other from this and around, but we weren't really close. So it's been really cool getting to know him. He's a great guy, and I was amazed at how well he does for not having the experience doing it. I mean, you can't tell. He sounds awesome.
He had done some. And I tell you, if I had to choose as a way to break into that, to race calling, I wouldn't want to do quarter horses as the...
Yeah.
Right? I mean, because it's...
You don't have long to...
It's 2 seconds.
Yeah, you don't have... If you miss one, you don't have time to make it up like you do in a... You know, if they're going around a couple times.
And the thoroughbred action, even a sprint in thoroughbred action, there's a narrative that is unfolding, and you can latch onto it. And I mean, certainly Tom Durkin kind of changed the landscape of race calling, you know, in terms of telling a story as the race is unfolding, right? So
he's gotten to do some Arabian races where they go around a little longer, and
no, they're just slower.
They're slower, but I mean, but it's different than a quarter horse race, that's for sure. I think he does great on both of them. So I think it was a no-brainer. I'm excited.
That's great. Well, and they've done such a nice job, and for Frank Hopf and the team, bringing you on to handicap and having an expertise of your level, you know, to help people approach the races and augment their own opinion. That's a treat.
Well, it's very kind. I was talking to Frank as we were wrapping up the season, and he was telling me that, like, Trey, you go into a lot more detail than most people on those previews. Like, you know, I don't know if it was a compliment either. But he didn't tell me it's changed. I try to offer a lot of people that are first time starter, you know, people that are just coming out.
Yeah.
That's a lot of the people, obviously, that rely on picks. So I want to appeal to them, but then I also, you know, want to throw something out that everybody can use. So I try to kind of mix it up, but. So far, so good. And I think I'm coming back next year. We'll see.
I don't see how you're not. And, I mean, to have as savvy horse players as you and Nick Tamaro, you know, bouncing ideas off each other, it'll be must-watch TV.
Yeah, we really have pretty good chemistry. Chris, you know, talked about having Chris on. I thought we really had good chemistry, and he's such a professional. It was the first time I'd really ever done it. He just kind of throws softballs and makes anybody look good, right? So I was a little nervous when he left. But Nick and I have a good chemistry. I think we do, and we bounce off each other. And when I'm just crazy with picks, he doesn't make fun of me. He just kind of goes, "Huh, yeah." So, but we, you know, we'll comment on each other's picks, but we kind of have a good mix and angles, especially with the quarter horse meet. It'll be interesting to see how it goes with thoroughbreds when we're both doing something. I know he's more comfortable with thoroughbreds.
Yeah,
I like both, but probably better at thoroughbreds too. So,
here we are. 72 hours out, and first of all, you know, you've been, it seems like you've been a little bit on pins and needles about this whole concept of coming here and making it work. Talk about you know, the range of thoughts and emotions that have been tied to getting here and you know, another NHC. What number NHC is this for you?
I think 19 in a row.
I think
that's it. think we're there's three of us tied, and I think it's 19. I think next year will be 20.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it used to be... Now, it used to be really hard. When you had to go places before the internet, it was.
Yes.
I got very lucky. I mean, there were several times I qualified by the skin of my teeth that, you know, because you just didn't have any chances back then. I mean, I didn't, because in Texas, you know, there's not that many places you can get to. If you're in the Northeast, maybe there's more you can drive to. But, and at first, I really wasn't gung-ho about it. You know, I didn't appreciate it yet, you know, at first. But it's been great. I've gotten lucky, and here I am.
That's more than luck. When you put in those kinds of, and I didn't realize it was that gaudy a stat. But what talk about? Talk about the rescheduling and what your initial impressions are of going into Friday and. A set of races that and venues that we never get a chance to include.
Well, first of all, you pointed out that I seemed a little concerned, and I hope I didn't send out the wrong message. The folks at the NTRA that do this, Michelle and the whole team, Keith, and it's awesome. So they do an awesome job. I'm certainly not trying to second guess anything, that they've done. I'm the biggest fans of them and the NHC, obviously. But it will be interesting this year. Different, a whole different set of, almost a whole different set of tracks. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a. I won't say that I'm a bigger Del Mar or Saratoga. I mean, I like both those tracks, but I don't know that it. I probably am at a disadvantage because there's certainly some people that follow either or both of those a lot more than I do. So I don't know that it's particularly going to help me, but it's going to be. There's going to be some great racing, obviously, this time of year that maybe we didn't have in January or February. So.
And I would think, I mean, even though we get Fairgrounds and we get Tampa and we get Gulfstream and Santa Anita, I'm approaching turf.
Okay.
I mean, the turf options are going to be, that much more pronounced.
Yes.
I would think. I think this should play into the hands of the grass players.
Yeah, I'm with you. I agree, and I can't say that's particularly beneficial to me, but I'm fine with it, but not. I just think there's folks that really hammer those two tracks more than I do, so I don't know that whatever, it is what it is. I'm happy. I think it's going to be great racing, and I'm excited.
On that topic, actually, it's interesting, and Trey contributing to the, the SHRP, the Sam Houston Race Park signal. When that's your home track, essentially, does it provide a little bit more of a direction to consider the B circuit tracks, the Remingtons,
right.
we're having a tremendously fun time in the last few years with Indiana, which is so playable with these big fields and with the low takeout. Canterbury has made themselves important to look at. You gotta get used to, in both cases, you gotta get used to the Indiana bred pedigrees and Minnesota bred pedigrees, but it's no different than any other, adapting to any other kind of a circuit or, especially regionally.
I was all in with Sam Houston. For 7 months, really, because we took on the Rotama meet with the quarter horses. So for basically 7 months, I was, as I pointed out earlier, that Frank was kind of pointing out, I go into a lot of detail. It takes me a lot of time to prepare for the Sharpie Time, the show we do beforehand, and then the paddock previews. And so I really don't have the time to... I haven't played as... I'm a little concerned about this because I haven't played Del Mar and Saratoga as much as some of the tracks because, I have a job. It's not my job. I have, I'm a lawyer. I have a job. I do that. And then I drive over there for fun, right? And so... and they've been great, right? I tell them I can't make it because I have a hearing or court or depo or whatever. They're totally cool. But I don't have... There's only so much time in the day. And so I just haven't been able to focus on it. So I've been focusing on those, certainly Sam Houston and the local circuits.
In preparation for this weekend, what advance work I'm not sure if it was you or somebody or Sam Sherman that might have said to people, you know, Friday's PPs are out. That was you.
That was me.
How much advance work? What kind of advance work? You know, there's plenty of people listening that are coming here tomorrow or Thursday, and it might be their first time. What is the blueprint for getting ready for Friday, Saturday?
That is a great question that I get asked a lot, and I have an answer. I mean, the first time I qualified 19 years ago was here at Bally's, and I think I came Thursday night the day before. I didn't even know you were on the air. I'm all out of whack, right? My body doesn't know what time it is where, and I woke up at 4:30, and I thought started to get my day going this morning. So it took me. I was totally out of whack the first year, and then I wasn't really prepared. As if I'm at home, I'm still getting calls from clients. I'm getting kids events that have to attend. Mine are off to college now, so that's not as big an issue. But there's just too many distractions. So that's why I'm here with you on a Tuesday instead of at home. I came out yesterday, and I'd encourage folks. Well, there's two ways to do it. There's nothing wrong with the people that say there's 600 people in this event. I'm going to go to Vegas and have a great time. If that's what you want to do, great. But I try to kind of treat it like a job, and I try to come here. I set up a printer, my computer. I'm set up in my room, and I hump it for 3 days. I'll go out and eat dinner with my friends, but I haven't gambled yet. I've been here for 24 hours. I haven't gambled yet. So I really focus on that's why I'm here, is to try to do well. And I've had a lot of bad years where that didn't work, and it gets frustrating. But, paid off last year, had a good finish. And so I'm trying to kind of redo the same thing. So I'd encourage, it just depends on what your goal is, right? If you're here to have a good time, well, go party with your friends and, shoot craps and have a good time. But if you're here to try to finish well, then I'd encourage folks to get out as early as you can. Might be too late this year, but get out as early as you can, kind of get acclimated, and just work. I mean, when it gets to Saturday night or Friday night and you're trying to go through the Saturday PPs, if you haven't already gone through them, I can't do it the way I handicap. I couldn't do it. I'm too tired. There's too much to do. I already have to have gone through them and have a kind of a game plan. What am I going to do if I had a good first day? What am I going to do if I had a bad first day? And already have a good concept of what I'm going to do, and I'm just fine-tuning on Friday night, whereas some people I know are trying to figure it all out, trying to handicap the races all on Friday or Saturday night. It's too late.
Obviously, you start with the mandatories, and is that the first set, or do you go through and it doesn't matter? You're gonna review all the cards and try to identify horses in a first pass. What's that process like?
Well, when I'm doing it like now, I don't know what the mandatories are, so I'm just going through them all, trying to kind of handicap all the races that I think I'm likely to play. It's a general rule. I don't really even look at a six-horse field. Just because even if you're right and you get the place isn't going to pay much, and it's just usually that's like the last thing. That's down the road. And then there's certain tracks maybe that I have experience with that I don't want to badmouth any of them, but I just know from statistics that I don't do well at certain tracks. So I try to kind of won't focus on those as much. So I'd say I spend my time hitting the tracks and the types of races that I like hard. But I won't. Some people say just play your one or two tracks, and that hasn't been. That's not something that I do, but I could certainly see if you're, if you're all in on Saratoga all year and that's where you know the best, that's where you ought to focus.
Is there a particular type of race that draws your attention more than others? 7/8?
No, I just say big fields, because it's just harder to find those big prices in the smaller fields, obviously. But no, I some people say they're maiden, first-time starter specialist. I tend to stay away from those in the NHC, I've hit one last year that went well. So I don't know that I have a type of race. Just certain tracks that I know that I do better with, so I try to focus on those. But I don't really care if it's a Grade One Stakes or a 5,000 claimer. I mean, it doesn't impact me as much.
Morning line price range. Are you working to a day one total? Trying to trying to hit a target?
Yeah, I generally try to double my money or maybe 1.5 times my money just to stay in the mix. You don't want to be shooting for bombs, trying to double your money and then have zero at the end of the first day. You want to have something there. So I don't know that I'd really go all out trying to get to double. But what I do is I go through, like I said, I go through all the races, and after the morning lines come out and I kind of have a feeling for what I think the odds of the horses that I'm interested in, I kind of make a chart, and you know, the horses I'm going to save a play for no matter what. And then if I get to five plays, optional plays left, and I've got five of those, well, and I won't say I never play another race, but I pretty stick to my guns. And so, you know, I'll pass races. But like last year, I had one that I liked a horse. He was had a 6-to-1 morning line, and I thought that'd be about where it went. And I looked up at the board, and it was 22-to-1.
Oh, my God.
And so I thought, well, that's crazy. So I ran up to the window, put my bet in. As soon as I hit it, it closed, and they took off, and it won. Tampa 22-to-1, something like that. And you know, that's just it goes well, right? If that's a year where you do bad, I'm 3 seconds later and I don't get that bet down. But because I have a list of things I'm focused on, and sometimes that can be a detriment because you, when there's six tracks going at the same time, it can be hard to follow all of them. And I really wasn't on my radar because I really thought it was going to be around 6-to-1.
It's funny, and I tell this story every time we're here. When I the Horse Player World Series ages ago, John Parada and I and Johnny D, and there was a kid that sat at the next table. His name was Mike. He's from Ohio. His family was in Standardbreds. Literally show up, pick up the form at the table.
I can't do that.
With a pencil and just watch the board and finish sixth. I've never seen anything.
Is that frustrating or what?
It was like this is unbelievable. just crazy successful. I'm going to catch up with you later in the week too. I want to talk about tools and your handicapping approach.
Cool.
You know, what
I'm
you
here.
Like to use. All right.
I know.
Excellent.
Glad to do it. I'm glad I could come talk, spend some time with you.
It's funny. I answered you on Twitter. I should have just texted you right away.
Yeah, you got me. You know how to hunt me down.
Well, and we had no phone. The phone system conked out in Florida, so we ended up a little cocked.
You're in a bind.
Well, it was, because I with Pletcher Phil Serpy tomorrow and Pletcher and so much more. Send everybody out into the race day. Watch Chris Griffin at Parks.
Yeah. That's my buddy Chris.
Trey Stiles, everybody. Keith Shamblin, and back with you tomorrow, and a little smoother day two from Vegas when we talk to you then. Thanks.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only 3 states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to
generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.